Die Brücke. A podcast cooperation between Sam Edin and Migration macht Gesellschaft. Bridging the gap.
Love is in the air, actually. It's a love season in Munich. It's a love season in Germany. And people are trooping from all over the world to come for the biggest beer festival in Germany. Or the biggest beer festival in the world, which is hosted in Munich, Germany. It's called Oktoberfest. And why do I say love is in the air? All started because the king back then, I think in 1810, got married to his sweetheart, Teresa, also from Austria, or thereabout. But basically, they got married and they threw one of the finest weddings I could imagine back in the day. And people came all around and they were celebrating. And they decided, why just have this celebration for the love of my life for 1 year? But they were super rich, so they decided to have this celebration done every year. And that's how it started as Oktoberfest. And I think it was moved a bit back to start at the end of September because the weather is a bit good. So basically, it's over 200 years that Oktoberfest has been going on. And I think we've had it canceled 26 times due to the war, Corona outbreak, and just recently the coronavirus. So without further ado, I just want to welcome everybody back to the Brücke, where our intention is to bridge the gap between cultural differences. Thank you for all the listeners so far. It's been good. The reception has been good. And today I have someone that has a sweet name called Svetlana. Actually, her name is Svetlana from Ukraine. And I'm just going to hand over to Svetlana to give us an insight to who she is and a bit of the origin of the name Svetlana.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Hi, guys. Hi, everybody who is listening to this podcast. My name is Svetlana. I'm originally from Ukraine. And yeah, my name means the light girl, because in Ukrainian, Svetlo is basically the light. So this name means somehow light person. It's connected with the light. So I'm here for 3 years. And yeah, I came in the middle of the corona time, where the Oktoberfest was actually canceled. So I had a chance to visit this festival only twice, but let's see.
Okay, that's an interesting name, when the light was there. So you've been in Germany for 3 years, and why did you even come to Germany? Because you came before the war, right?
Yes, that's true. So I started to work in some German company already in Ukraine, and I just got a chance to travel to Germany to see how the things are going here. And because of the corona, it was not so easy to get out from Ukraine. And the only chance was for me to do the internship here in Germany. And during my internship, I worked really well, and I got the chance to continue working here. I got the contract, so that was my way to come to Germany. And that's really different from the other stories, because I wasn't a student at that time. I came directly to work. And I was 22 at that age, and somehow, you know, I was a little bit young, like the younger than most of the workers, but I was not a student, so I really had to work hard and a lot. And somehow for me, it was really a challenge to find friends here and somehow, you know, to fulfill my free time.
Okay, so did you already speak German before coming to Germany?
I did. I graduated from the applied linguistics. I studied applied linguistics for 4 years in Ukraine, and that was the way how I learned German. We had really good teacher. I would say we learned German harder than English.
Wow. So you could speak German, English, and Ukrainian.
Yes, and a bit Polish.
A bit Polish?
Yeah.
You speak Russian?
Yeah.
Wow. So you speak 5 languages?
Yeah.
Wow, so that's something. And when you came for the internship, right, with a German company, how did you even know that you were going to come? How was the decision making? Did you intentionally want to come to Germany or something? Like, what triggered you? Why? Because I believe you were already in Ukraine working. Why did you now decide to actually come to Germany? Even though, yes, you could speak German, you could speak Polish, and you're leaving your comfort zone.
Yeah, so I was working really interesting project in robotics. It was a startup project, and I was really excited because of it. I wanted to see how the things are working here, how our robot looks like. And also, you know, I felt myself a bit imprisoned in Ukraine because I was really up to new possibilities, but I came to the point when it was never enough for me, you know?
Okay.
And somehow I graduated from the university, I had the job, I had my hobbies, I had friends in Ukraine, but I even didn't know what should I do to get more, you know?
Yeah, it's, if I understand you clearly, it's more like you felt you could give more. You wanted to be a better version, and you somehow, maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, you felt in Ukraine, it's like you're not being the best version of yourself. You felt you can do more, so you wanted to explore and see how, like, this project you're talking about, how it works in a different country, having a different experience. Is that what you mean?
Partially. So the trigger was my boss, in our company, it was basically normal to go to Germany for a couple of weeks just to take a look on the processes here. And for me, the corona played an important role because I got a chance to come here for 6 months because I had the visa for 6 months. So I had really a good possibility to spend more time here and become even a bit German, you know. And I could go back every time I wanted, but somehow I didn't do it. I just stayed here.
Okay, but moving during Corona, I'm just trying to imagine you moving to Germany during Corona and the first 6 months. How was it for you moving to a new country during Corona?
It was excited. It was really. You know, in the corona, when everything is so locked and people are frustrated, I traveled to Germany. Like, on the beginning, I was really scared because of the German law, and I didn't know what to do to not be punished, let's say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But at the end, I lived in the WG with five other persons, so we had really good time. And I would say, even because of the corona, I would not like to go back, just because I felt the kind of freedom here that I didn't have in Ukraine.
But I could not imagine you now moving, you're now in Germany, 6 months, corona has happened, but you already know the language, and it's been going on for a while. Can we just fast forward, and how did it feel for you? You've now moved away in Germany. You're expressing yourself. You're trying to be the best version of yourself in Germany. How was it for you when the war broke out, or when, before the war broke out? I'm sure there were days leading to the war happening that people were hearing rumors that this could happen. How did it feel for you being in Germany and having friends and family back in Ukraine, and the rumors are coming that there is a war and eventually happens? How was that for you?
Terrifying. You know, at that point, I never read the news, but somehow I woke up at 5 o'clock just, you know, to read the news on internet. And that's how I knew that the war has started. And it was really terrifying. And actually, I have already bought the tickets to Ukraine, to fly to Ukraine. And my father was telling me that, look, don't buy the tickets, don't go to Ukraine because something bad can happen. I'm watching the news and the things are not going well. But I didn't believe in him. I told him, nah, nothing bad will happen, don't worry. But at the end, you know, I somehow could not accept it. I started to do sport as much as I could. I was running at night, you know, like I had so many emotions I could not really express. And it, you know, I at that point I was feeling myself alone since then in Germany, because, you know, it's this cultural differences, plus I did not have that many friends. But at that point, when somebody is trying to, you know, get your land when you were born, it's I felt myself even lonelier as I were.
Okay, but but you were living in a VG, right? You had roommates and all, but were you not talking to them, or didn't you have friends? Like you say, cultural differences. What were the cultural differences? Because I'm assuming Ukraine, it's Europe, and I'm assuming the culture in Ukraine and Germany, is it similar, or were there big differences? Did you find any difference between Ukraine and Germany in terms of culture?
So at that point, I was already living in another VG. I think maybe I meant that people are here a bit cold. Plus, for me, it was hard to make friends, and maybe I just didn't.
Did you try? Did you try to make friends?
Actually,
because it's one thing to say it was hard for you to make friends, but you probably can't make friends staying in your room. Did you try to make friends? Did you sign up for online platforms? Maybe you went on Tinder, Bumble. I don't know.
Actually,
it's all different ways of making friends. But
yeah.
What did you do? What were the things you tried to do to get into the system and make friends?
That's a very good question. I think on the beginning, I did nothing. Really, I was just overwhelmed with my work. So that's why I had only my colleagues as friends and my roommates. But in a year, after the war has started, I tried to network with Ukrainians. And after that, I met many Ukrainians with very various stories. And some of them came from the hot regions where the war destroyed their houses. Some of them came just from the safety because of the safety reasons, and their like houses are okay, but mm-hmm. still they wanted mm-hmm. to have better and safer life.
Yeah. But how about your family? Because your family in the Ukraine, so what about your family? Are they still in the Ukraine, or they left also?
They still are in Ukraine. They live not far away from Lviv, so that's in the western part of Ukraine, and I would say they are okay. These parts are a bit calmer, safer.
Okay, but partially. Didn't they want to leave, or they decided
they
stay?
They decided they want to stay.
Okay, so now looking at it from a different angle, you're there, you're trying to change your life. You're here now in Germany trying to change your life, and you're moving forward, you're doing really good. How was it for you being a Ukrainian? And at that point in time, everyone was in support, like Ukraine against the war, and people are saying this is not right. And there was a lot of the world, everyone around the world, like they were supporting and praying for people in the Ukraine and all that. But did you face any challenges being in Germany as a Ukrainian? Because at that point in time, everyone would see that, oh, you're Ukrainian. The first thing they ask you about is the war, or if you're okay. But were there times where you felt, why are you treating me this way? Did you feel somehow discriminated against? Did you feel sometimes that people just, because you're coming from that part of the world, already make assumptions and think about something else or have some stereotypes? Did you ever encounter anything of that sort during this period?
So on the beginning of the war, there were many Ukrainians here in Germany, and people were really, generous. They tried to help as much as they could. And also we had a couple of initiatives at work to settle the people here in Germany, mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. find some houses for them. And also, you know, I did not feel myself discriminated. Okay. However, I felt myself always, a bit ashamed because I'm here and I'm okay. To come to Germany was my decision. What can I do? But at the same time, I met some Ukrainians, even my friends who just tried to come to Germany for a couple of weeks, but somehow it didn't work well for them. But yeah, they came back, but they didn't feel well here. And yeah, I know that's their life, that's their choice, but still somehow I was ashamed that I'm okay, you know, that I like the life here, that I don't have such troubles. And in the beginning, it was always difficult for me to network and communicate with these refugees because, I tried to sympathize them.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to support, but still I was somehow out of the box because my experience was different.
Yeah, your reality. So if I understand you correctly, because your reality was you came to Germany by choice.
Yes.
And you had a plan. You were living a certain life, and you felt guilty in the sense that you were talking to same Ukrainians, but it's like they had their whole life taken away from them, and they didn't have a choice. But you had a choice. Is that what you mean by you felt guilty?
Yes, that's true. That's true. Plus, I realized that somehow, on the beginning, I was not using all the possibilities I have to be happy, to fulfill my life. And after the work, after the work has started, I just, you know, really faced this, feeling of useless of being here. And then you face people with many troubles, and I think that's usual, just to mirror their experience on your own life, on my life, and then it had really great impact on my life because, as I mentioned, I started doing something, but at the end, like, I tried to help them because these people which came because of the war, they were really lost. They some of them lost their home forever, and you know, they had to learn language, they had to learn German is not the easiest language in the world, but some of them had to refuse from their dream forever. Okay. And I know some people who just had some mental issues and they could not overcome them till
the
now.
Trauma of leaving your home. And I could imagine on a Monday you're thinking you're starting a new job, and on Tuesday the war breaks out and your world is broken. So I could also understand how you feel, because at that point in time you were living in Germany by choice and you were making this progress, like you say, you're exploring being the best version of yourself, and you're talking to your fellow Ukrainian who had everything taken away from them. And sometimes maybe it feels difficult for you to be happy because you feel guilty that you're happy and living this new life you want to live, and maybe they are struggling. So sometimes did you get this feeling of you want to do something which is happy and do something for yourself, but you were feeling guilty that I'm living in this good life, or I'm living my life the way I planned it, and someone who is also from the same home as you doesn't have the same experience? Is that something that made you feel like you said, made you feel guilty? But how did you walk through it? How did you manage?
I just started to network with other people, with foreigners, and I met Ukrainians who live here for ages, like they live here for more than five years.
Okay.
And they kind of understand me, plus we started to enjoy the life together, you know. And at the end, I just switched to, you know, switched to the other company. In scope of the friends, I started to communicate with the other group of people where I didn't feel myself guilty anymore.
Oh, that must have been tough because, yeah. But so now, looking back currently, do you have German friends that you've made from all this? Have you been able to make German friends, basically?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
But somehow it's because of the networking. And also last year I joined some group of the one group of people who is called Urban Tiger, and there we could just do sport, boxing, and there I met many friends. And also I had a couple of I found a couple of German friends there.
Nice.
Sometimes we do sport together.
What's the club called? Urban Tiger?
Yes.
Okay.
And like I came there with the goal that I want to be coached, I want to find friends, and I want to do sport. And there I found everything I need.
Nice. How many German friends do you have? Because
only two.
Only two. But you've made progress in 3 years, two German friends. Me, I'm 7 years here. I'm still waiting for my first German friend. But hopefully, before I get to year 10, I would have a breakthrough, hopefully. You know, the last episode also, we had Vivi from Greece, and she's also still waiting for her breakthrough. But at least I know there's a chance for us. You know, you did really good. And first and foremost, I have to commend your bravery. Like, I can imagine how tough it is for you mentally trying to chase your dreams and at the same time seeing loved ones and people you know have their dreams crushed, and how you're trying to manage the mental capacity. Imagine you're going to work and you after work you're going to the refugee spaces where you have other Ukrainians, and at the same time maybe you're having a conversation and they're asking you, what do you do, what happened to your home, and you tell them, no, I came here, I'm working, I'm doing all right. And sometimes you don't want to share these things with them because you feel it's not appropriate, because it feels like you're living your dream. And so I just want to say that was super brave of you. And you, in the space of these 3 years, it's definitely been tough, but you've been able to pull through and reached out to other people. And it's good to see that you've done well to an extent. And you're still in the journey of being the best version of yourself. So congrats and thumbs up to you for actually making that step, that decision. So now the job is going good. You've made two German friends. And this is Oktoberfest period. How many days have you been to the festival? How many mass of beer have you drank in this period? Like 10 liters, 20 liters?
Oh, no, I don't drink that much. I've been twice this year on Oktoberfest, mm-hmm. with two different group of people. And that was really a nice experience because I had a chance to learn a couple of Bavarian dances. And
ooh, which one did you learn?
So I don't remember their names.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Were you drunk when you were dancing?
You know, I was just dancing. I didn't care about their names.
All right. German dances. I didn't even know they had German dances.
Me too. Like I even didn't know that they dance polka, because polka, we are dancing in Ukraine as well.
Polka? What's polka?
Polka, it's a dance. That's the name of the dance.
Okay, it's a German dance.
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Okay, they also dance it in Ukraine.
Yeah, we do. Like we usually dance polka during the weddings or some other events. It's very exciting.
Wow. Yeah. So enough beer, you learn polka. And this is your second Oktoberfest, right?
This is my second year.
Because the first one was cancelled when you came?
The first one was cancelled. The second one, I already could take part in it, but still I didn't have the group of people I could come with, so it was a bit boring for me. That's why I decided this year to do everything possible to go to Oktoberfest and somehow spend good time, you know?
Speaking of Oktoberfest, if you guys can cast your mind back to the second episode where I had the experience of getting invited for the first time to go for lunch with my colleague and with my classmate, and where I said this was one of the early experiences I had, where in Germany, when someone says, let's go out for drinks or lunch, it means you have to hold your money, because I was under the assumption she was going to pay, considering where I was coming from in Nigeria. So like, for example, in Nigeria, when someone invites you and says, let's go out, it means the person is going to pay. So if you haven't heard it, just listen to the other episode. And so now, during Oktoberfest, I had my first job in the hostel. And on one of the days, our colleagues are like, oh, we're all going to Oktoberfest together. You should come and all. I'm like, ah, okay, it's nice. Let's go together. But remembering my earlier experience, I was being conscious, like, all right, I know we're going to Oktoberfest. And mind you, during Oktoberfest, if a beer normally costs €3, in Oktoberfest, it could cost as much as €15. Like I said, I'm just new. I'm broke. I don't have too much money to waste. So I went with my colleagues and we got to Oktoberfest and everyone started ordering drinks and food. I just checked and I ordered the cheapest drink as possible. I didn't even have a beer. I had a Spezi and I was just sipping it gradually. Like, I was taking my time, and my colleagues from work, they were all drinking and ordering chicken, ordering food and feeling good. After like 5-10 minutes, the waiter would come. Do you guys need anything? I'd be like, no. I'm okay. Thank you. Like, I'm fine. My colleague would even come again and say, Sam, have some chicken, or don't you want to eat stuff? You know, if you're vegetarian, they have vegetarian meals. I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't want to have anything. I'm fine. But deep down, I wasn't fine. I would have loved to have the chicken and everything, but I was conscious of my pocket. So I was just managing my Spezi. 20-30 minutes later, again, another of my colleague comes. I'm like, what do you want? They have wine. They have this. And I couldn't keep on using the same excuse. So I said to her, do you know what? I just have to run to the ATM to get cash. And that was the light bulb moment. She said, no, you don't need to get cash. The company's paying for everything. I'm like, seriously? You should have started with that information. It's all paid for. Immediately, I raised my hand. I need the chicken. I need the drink. I was just ordering and eating, and finally I was enjoying Oktoberfest because all along I was thinking I had to pay. So it was one funny experience about Oktoberfest that I also somehow learned that in Germany, most of the time during Oktoberfest, maybe in your company, sometimes companies book a table and they all go together. In those instances, when it's your company taking you, most of the time the company pays for everything. So that was my first Oktoberfest experience, and it was a good one. It was a good one. I just decided to share that with you guys. I hope, in case you're going with your company, remember, just ask them if the company is paying and you can go all wild. So now, on your super interesting bucket list, what's the next thing you want to get ticked off now that you're in Germany? What's the next thing you want to do on your adventure?
So in Germany, that I want to take part on my first workshop because in Germany there are so many workshops and you can learn everything basically here, but still somehow I really did not take part in any workshop, and that's kind of cool. Maybe
that's boring. Workshop, that's boring. Tell us something interesting. Hiking. Do you want to do hiking? Do you want to jump off the airplane? Do you want to visit some, like, you've helped out a lot of people, like refugees and all, you know, something that you wouldn't have done when you were in Ukraine.
Okay. So maybe then Ferrata on Zugspitze, some hiking on Zugspitze.
You see, that's, you could do some interesting things, yeah? Not just the workshop.
Yeah, like, you know, I am trying to understand what I haven't done before, because like for this year I had the goal for myself that I will try a new thing every week or just meet a new person. Until now I did many new things.
And I don't think I can even be your friend because you have too many things to do every week, and I can't even keep up. Like, this week we've got to do this, next week we've got to do this. You were meant for Germany. Germany was meant for you. Alice, tack, tack, tack. You're doing it, tack, tack, tack. Next up, okay. Bike riding, tack. Uber Morgan. Crossing when the light is red, tack. It's good. I'm super happy we've had Svetlana on the Brookie, Bridging the Gap. And like, I would say one of the takeaways what I've learned from having this podcast or this episode with you is the fact that there's resilience, you know, being able to move past your difficulties just because you make up your mind to do it. And it's one of the things I would take away from this episode about, regardless of what you're going through, you can never drive a car looking at your side mirror. The only way forward is looking front. Whatever is behind is behind, and it's something you do not have control over. Svetlana, coming from Ukraine, there's a war, there's strategy, there are people, loved ones also here who have lost everything, and having a bit of survival guilt, still being able to soldier on and move past it and fight. That just lets you know, whoever is out there, whatever you're going through, it's never the end. As long as you have that will, that courage to just make it to the next day. You don't have to do the long-term planning, but just make it to the next day and take one step at a time. You probably can't see where you're going to be in 10 years, but if you can see your next step, that's the most important step. And I think that's what Svetlana has been able to do over the past 3 years, being able to take the next step. And those next steps have led to miles, kilometers, and she's made significant progress. So I'm encouraged by that. And wherever is out there, whatever you're going through, take the next step. And all things being equal, when you look back 6 months from now, it's no longer a step, it's kilometers. So thank you once again for everyone who's tuned in and listened to The Brookie. Without you, we wouldn't be here. And it's a wrap on this episode. Thank you, Svetlana. If you have anything you want to just round up and say on this episode, I would appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam. So I would sum up with the main lesson I learned over the past 2 years. So guys, if you have a choice, you have a chance to make it right. And even if it doesn't seem to be right, you still have a choice to repeat it and do it better. And just don't be afraid of doing mistakes. It's okay. Just try to do everything possible to be happy and to be okay. Because on this planet, there are millions of people who don't have the choice. They are doing what they are supposed to do. And somehow they cannot rely on their choice anymore. And their choice is in the hand of the other people or of the situation. So, you know, like, and we are not equal, but still it's the life. So you are lucky if you can decide what you are going to do tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm touched and I'm happy we've had you on this episode.
Yeah, I'm happy too. Thank you, Sam.
All right. Have a nice evening, everyone.
Have a nice evening. Bye.
Bye.